I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Hey, welcome in. It is Dom time. What a day to have Senator Ted Cruz, his brand new book, One Vote Away, How a Single Supreme Court Vote Can Change History. Ted Cruz joins us here in Philadelphia. Hey, Senator, great book and perfect timing as always.
Thank you, Dom. Great to be with you. Thanks for having me.
Well, first, kudos to you. That was one of the highest level and fun educational things. You and Mark Levin, I'm a huge admirer of both, talking the Constitution and your book. And even better, the other great mind of this century, duking it out on Twitter with Mark Cuban about the NBA.
Well, both of those were great fun for different reasons. It was Sunday. I spent the whole show, the whole hour on Mark Levin's Fox show, talking about the Constitution, the Supreme Court, and the book One Vote Away. And I'll tell you, it was amazing, Dom. The next day, the book skyrocketed to the number one bestseller in the country on Amazon. And so it's really been a lot of people have gone to buy it. And the Mark Cuban thing was just fun. Mark Mark had kind of a hissy fit and started yelling and being upset when I pointed out that the ratings for the NBA finals have dropped about 45%. And the league seems flabbergasted that when you insult your fans and lecture them and turn it into a left-wing political screed, that some people say, you know what, maybe I'll just turn off the TV and do something else.
It's a lot of fun, though. Absolutely. Now, Mark Levin got you that after this, it's going to be the bestseller book other than the Bible of all time after these 10 minutes. That's our goal. We shoot high here.
Excellent.
So I'd like to start with something you addressed, and I wanted to get into specifics. I'm a law school dropout. I only practice on the air. I'm not at the level of Ted. I did win moot court, but I didn't argue before the Supreme Court, Senator Cruz. You address in the book, though, why Republicans have missed on John Roberts, who apparently, you've said in an interview, hates President Trump. They missed certainly on Souter. They missed on the first Sarah Day O'Connor was a big miss, I think, Kennedy and any number of others. And you analyze that in the book. And that is something that listeners really want a lot of detail on. So why does that happen, do you think?
Well, sure. So the entire last chapter of the book goes through a history of Supreme Court nominations, starting with Dwight D. Eisenhower. And the basic pattern we've seen is Democrats almost always get this right. Just about 100% of their nominees vote exactly the way Democrats would want on virtually every big case. Republicans, on the other hand, are terrible at this. I mean, we don't even bat 500. And many of the worst judicial activists in history have been Republican appointees. Earl Warren, Bill Brennan, John Paul Stevens, David Souter, Harry Blackmun, the author of Roe versus Wade, all of those were Republican appointees to the court. I mean, we are actively bad at this. And what I go through and analyze is it's not just random. It's not just that we keep getting unlucky. There is a clear pattern. If you look at the justices who remain faithful to the Constitution, who remain faithful to their oath, people like Antonin Scalia, Clarence Thomas, Sam Alito, people like my former boss, Chief Justice William Rehnquist. They all have a similar pattern. They all served in the executive branch. They all were outspoken conservatives. They stood for the Constitution. And here's the critical point. They all were excoriated by the press. They were pounded by the press, and they didn't waver. And that's what we should be looking for, is a proven record and a willingness, a demonstrated ability to withstand the fiery cauldron. On the other hand, every time Republican presidents nominate someone who's a stealth candidate, who's never said or done anything conservative, right, has never faced any heat, but someone says, trust me, they almost always turn into a disaster.
That is a tremendous insight. Now, I've been honored. I've had Justice Alito on about seven times. And you said something else, too, that I think I'm not sure if you wrote it in the book, Senator. Alito, my read is a brilliant guy, researches the law all day. Then he comes home and he talks to me when he's on about Phillies games and whether he would overrule the umpires. He's not going to he's not going to Georgetown cocktail parties, Senator. And yeah. John Roberts was suspect all along, and I think he's fallen prey to it. He's a pretty obvious one that we missed on, I think.
Yeah. Well, Dom, you're right, and that is something I talk about in the book, that you notice justices when they go to the court and they, quote, evolve, they always evolve in one direction. They always move left. I don't think we've ever had in modern times a justice move to the right. And the reason is all of the pressure. If you vote with the left, the media praises you. You know, the Supreme Court reporter for the New York Times used to be a woman named Linda Greenhouse, and there was actually a syndrome named for her. It was called the Greenhouse Effect. And it was justices, swing justices like Anthony Kennedy and Sandra Day O'Connor, if they voted with the left, Linda Greenhouse would praise them and they'd get very, very happy. And the social scene also, the D.C. cocktail party scene, in Washington, if you vote with the left, you're well-liked, you're embraced, all of the city loves you. If you're a conservative, you're a pariah. And exactly what you just said, Dom, I want justices who have zero desire to go to a D.C. cocktail party. And Sam Alito, I think Sam Alito would view that as a circle of hell to send him to a D.C. cocktail party.
Oh, God.
A Phillies game he'd go to happily.
He actually told me he predicted 95 wins one year, and they only got 94, but he overruled the umpires on a call, a big call in a game that turned and he had the scorebook out. He sits there with a scorebook. I would, if I'm in the Oval Office, and I'm sure you would too, he's brilliant. I see the scorebook. I know what he's about. That's the guy I want. You know, that's the only way to do this. Now, I think with the current nominee, Coney Barrett, it's much the same thing. Very normal. The seven kids, driving the minivan, they're going to have a hard time turning her around in Washington, I would think.
I think so, and I hope so. I think she's a very strong nominee, impeccable credentials, and a calm, scholarly, judicial temperament. By all indications, she would likewise have zero desire to be popular on the D.C. Georgetown circuit. And she knows what she believes, and that's important. You know, the way the book is structured, every chapter of the book focuses on a different constitutional liberty. So right. There's a chapter on free speech, one on religious liberty, one on the Second Amendment. And what I do, it's not an academic or theoretical book. What I do is it's practical and real. I tell war stories about the big landmark cases at the court, many of which I helped litigate personally. And what it's designed to do is take the reader behind the scenes, behind the curtain, to really understand, all right, what's going on at the court? A lot of people know, okay, the court's important. I know it matters, but it's kind of confusing. It's hard to understand what's going on. And this book is designed to really make it real and bring you inside. You don't have to be a lawyer to enjoy the book. The book is designed for everyone to really get what is at the heart of the court, who are these justices, and why does it matter for me? And in case after case after case, the big ones are 5-4, and our fundamental liberties, they're all just one vote away from being taken away.
I'll give you my favorite, the Heller case. Now, I often tell Bill O'Reilly, this senator, I like a book where I think I know a lot, and I thought I knew a lot about that, but you, to the point, maybe more than anything in there, tell the war story specifically that the media doesn't tell, how draconian the Washington laws. You drive it home how monumental, that is one of the three or four most monumental cases, at least in my lifetime, of the Supreme Court. Talk about that chapter in the Heller case in Scalia.
Well, sure. So it is the landmark Second Amendment case. And the way it originated is Dick Anthony Heller, who's a federal police officer, lives in D.C. He carried a firearm at work, but it was illegal in D.C. for him to have a firearm at home. The D.C. laws had a total ban on pistols, and you had to have, if you had a long gun, either a rifle or shotgun, it had to be disassembled and inoperative all of the time, no matter what, with no exception. So literally, if someone is breaking into your home, climbing through the window to hurt your family, and you assemble a shotgun to defend your family, you committed a criminal offense in the District of Columbia. Heller filed a lawsuit challenging that on the Second Amendment. It went to the Supreme Court. I represented 31 states defending the Second Amendment right to keep and bear arms. The court, 5-4, struck down the D.C. law, concluded that the Second Amendment, it violated the Second Amendment. But here's the really important thing to understand. The four dissenters in Heller, they didn't argue that some gun control sometimes is acceptable. That's an issue reasonable mm-hmm. people can disagree right. on. We can have all sorts of interesting discussions about that. The position of the dissenters was that the Second Amendment protects no individual right whatsoever, zero right, that it is only a, quote, collective right of the militia, which is just a fancy legal term for a non-existent right. If the dissenters had one more vote, the result would be that you and I, no American in this country, would have any right under the Second Amendment, that the federal government or the state or local government could make it a criminal offense for any of us to own a gun, and there would be nothing we could do about it. That is a radical, it's an extreme view. It would basically erase the Second Amendment from the Bill of Rights, and both Hillary Clinton and Joe Biden have pledged every justice they would appoint to the court would explicitly commit to overturn Heller and to essentially erase the Second Amendment from the Bill of Rights. That's really a radical position. And you notice Kamala Harris didn't embrace it last night. She ran away from that last night because it's also a very unpopular position, so the Democrats want to hide from it.
How radioactive, and I don't know, you can go back, probably you could right now for the paperback or whatever you're doing, Senator Ted Cruz with his new book, One Vote Away, How a Single Supreme Court Vote Can Change History. They're radical, and it's known that they're radical, but they sense that packing the Supreme Court, saying something like that, is unacceptable at the highest level to the American people. That ought to cheer us up, I guess, that they believe that.
Yeah, it should be encouraging. You know, the Democrats tell us all of their policies are incredibly popular with the American people, and yet when they run for office, they run away from them. They lie about them. I mean, it really was striking in both the first debate, the presidential debate, and the debate last night on the question of will you pack the court. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris ran screaming for the hills. They would not answer it. And the answer is yes, that's their intention, but they know it's incredibly unpopular. It's actually very similar to how they answer the question about fracking, where both of them have said repeatedly
yes.
on the campaign trail they would ban fracking and destroy the domestic energy production in the U.S., which, by the way, would kill a lot of jobs in Pennsylvania. And last night that they're pretending, no, we're not going to get rid of fracking. We never said that. And it's, they have every intention of doing it, but they recognize that's a really unpopular position, so they want to hide from it between now and Election Day.
Absolutely. Senator, this is really a tremendous book. And the point you made for people that are not lawyers or get into the minutiae of stuff, this is written in a way that really expresses our rights, how one vote counts. And hopefully, I'm just hoping, I don't know about you, I'm still on the fence about Kavanaugh. Could I ask you, are you, or was that something that is a sure shot after all that struggle to get Kavanaugh on the bench?
Yeah, look, Dom, I am with you, and I actually talk about this in the book, that I've got concerns about
yep.
both Kavanaugh and Gorsuch. That, and I expressed those concerns to the president at the time he was nominating them. For both of those choices, I urged the president, my choice would have been Senator Mike Lee, and then that's who I both publicly and privately urged the president to appoint. And the reason is, it's the same test I suggested before. Mike has stood up for the Constitution over and over and over again, has been pounded in the press, and I have 100% certainty that 50 years from now, Mike would continue to be faithful to the Constitution.
I know you have to go. We know for 100 years from now, Ted Cruz would be. But I agree with you. The little I know about you, the times I've spoken with you, you're more valuable doing what you're doing. On the Supreme Court, I think you'd be roaming the halls all day debating stuff. You know what I mean? You're in the right spot.
I am glad to be in the political arena. Let me encourage your listeners. You can get the book on Amazon, on Barnes & Noble, anywhere you get your books. And if you're interested in the Supreme Court, want to understand it better, if you're interested in the Constitution or Bill of Rights, or if you want to just know more about the presidential election in 2020 or the epic battle to confirm Judge Barrett, this book, it's designed to be interesting, accessible, readable, but also give you tools as you're talking with your friends and family and neighbors to understand really what's at stake. So I'd encourage you to come out and buy the book.
Absolutely. Senator, thank you very, very much today. Good luck with this.
Tom, God bless.
Tom Giordano, weekdays 9 till noon on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.